This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, he felt they were observing him. You see, yes, some people say that I'm paranoid, but it's true that people are coming after me. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so, and here this is interesting. So the initial encounter, perhaps someone's first encounter with something, and there's often the commonality here is, and here I recall stories in a experiencer sessions at these UFO conferences, when people see, for example, in Charles's case, these orbs, or in another narrative, an experiencer session, a craft above the Dairy Queen, there is as a shock. There's a sense of disbelief that this can't be happening. This is absurd. And so Charles felt that there's some intelligence to this this kind of golf ball sized blue light, and that it was observing him. And then he had several encounters with these orbs, and each time he would, you know, get to a recording device, it would zip away, or it was gone. He's got some really interesting YouTube coverage of strange nocturnal lights. It's also the name of a movie he's done, a documentary of his research. And so these paranormal investigators, experiencers, have a sense of humor. They joke about the craziness of the event, the strangeness. And so within their pursuits, they also have a kernel of disbelief, of a kind of resistance that this can't be so. But they nonetheless want to find out more.
Do you find across the spectrum of the paranormal that there appears to be a sort of theatricality involved with the phenomena?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking of the conferences, the UFO conferences, that, you know, again, what I like to do is blur the difference between the paranormal and the normal. I think they're completely entangled in many ways, that the very word paranormal contains the normal. And so at the UFO conferences, there is similar theatricality to academic conferences. There will be the groupies, people following famous figures, seeking signatures and so on, or, graduate students following a famous professor, for example. Even in the Sasquatch expedition, there was a lecture on tracking, and there's a kind of forum to this. These are very enjoyable events as well. It is dramatic, theatrical to climb into a Ford truck and drive at night to the top of a hill, get out the truck and interact with whoops with other groups around the valleys. There's definitely what we could call a kind of performance to this, a performative aspect to the calling out. Even the investigations, typically a group will have a leader and they will hold court amongst the group. They will talk to the clients. The clients themselves are very rarely ordinary, boring, normal people. Everyone's a character. If you spend enough time with them, go to an elevator long enough, you'll see that. But there is a theatricality, an extraordinariness to the interactions between the client and the groups here. And I think that is a crucial element to the allure of the paranormal, but also the allure of the paranormal investigations themselves.
That was absolutely a fabulous answer. Wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it was fabulous nonetheless. What I was wanting to get at is that by theatricality is that in the sense that the phenomena seems to be putting on a display for the benefit of the witness to some extent.
Yeah, many seriologists, people who study crop circles, suggest these are gifts, that these are perhaps divine gifts, that they are there to instruct us, to delight us, to magnetize our gazes, you know, our eyes. Some people, along with UFOs, suggest that they are here to instruct us, to warn us. There's been some quite interesting messages declaring, kind of like in an end times way, the fragility of the world situation. And so that, yeah, the aesthetics of lights in the sky, the phoenix lights, the orbs, the crop circles, I like that, that there is a kind of dramaturgical or drama and theatricality in the spectacle of this phenomena as well to delight us, to bring us in.
Yes, it's almost as if, well, people will go out to a place where they think they might see the phenomena just as they would go to perhaps a theater. And then if they're lucky, the phenomena will present itself.
Yes.
Just as actors on a stage would, or magicians on a stage would present some fantastic thing, and yet they can completely leave the audience without any explanation as to what they just saw. They just know that it happened, but they don't know how. They just know they went, they saw, they experienced, but how do they explain it? And through the whole thing, it's as if there's this Oz factor, someone behind the curtain who's orchestrating the entire performance.
Yeah, some of the investigators on the Bigfoot expedition, likened the research to monkey business. Like, and this wasn't ridiculing what they did, but it had contained a kind of humor to that. But the monkey, as they referred to the creatures, are kind of like forest ninjas, was the term. And that is to say that they were the ones in control of the landscape. They were the ones who were watching the investigators, observing the investigators, toying with the investigators. And so there was a sense of humility with the Bigfoot investigators, that they were akin to, you know, being on the moon, and this was merely the backyard for Sasquatch. And so, unlike some kind of inquiry investigations, there was an admission to being on the weaker side of the relationship.
Interesting. Yes, we tend to think that we're the masters of our domain, no matter where we are. And yet, when one is out in the forest, particularly if you're by yourself, it can be a really unsettling place to be. I've worked out in the forest. I've worked on the railway out in Glacier National Park in the middle of no place, and I've experienced some pretty strange stuff you would definitely call paranormal out there. You really get the sense as an individual that you are a small little piece in a much larger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember one night in that Bigfoot expedition by Chehalis Lake in BC, we were, in the chairs, and above us was the Milky Way. And it was so bright, the Milky Way. You probably find it in Arizona, other desert states. It looked like a cloud, like a wisp of cloud. And it was remarkable, just that infinity. And you're in the silence waiting for a call back. But also, people would get scared if, we could hear a mouse kind of sipping from a little stream. and this sound was very, very audible on the headphones. And, you're in bear country, perhaps Sasquatch country, and, you're highly vulnerable in these sites.
Then again, if I tend to also be pretty skeptical about things, I want an explanation that makes sense. When I think of the word paranormal, I see it as a catch-all term to pretty much anything that is out of the ordinary to a significant degree. And then beneath that, it's divided up into what you might call sort of natural, unexplained phenomena. And then there's the supernatural. And I'm not sure that there even is such a thing as a supernatural. It depends on how one frames that particular belief. I'm a believer that everything that exists is a part of nature, and therefore nothing can be supernatural. But apart from that, when we look at the various explanations and interpretations, if we go back to something like, the Socratic method, well, not everyone can be right. There's got to be some objective truth to the phenomena if it is something natural.
Let's do our break here, folks, and find out whether it's natural, or what supernatural might mean to us. We have Paul, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We promote the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse and invite you to try them today by visiting GCNLife.com. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, certainly, Randall, anything that we might regard today as supernatural, only because we can't explain it. It doesn't make sense to us. Scientists tomorrow may figure it out, but it certainly strikes one as possible that these are things we'll never figure out.
Yeah, the supernatural, and when you get looking at
most of the definitions. It's not that it's just beyond our present understanding, but it's beyond the very possibility of being understood by science because it's beyond nature. And like I said, I don't know that there is such a thing or that there could be such a thing. What do you think, Paul?
Well, that's a big one. You know, again, I think when it comes to, you know, scientific approaches to the world, religious approaches to the world, I don't think that, say, science and religion are necessarily opposed. You often find in history a kind of collaboration between religion and science. So think, for example, of Christianity. It's often, you know, the narrative is that Christianity kind of took away all the learnings from the ancients, the Greeks and the Romans, but it was actually a monastic scholarship, the creation of libraries in Europe that during the medieval times that actually held on to these learnings, this scholarship. And so I'm of the opinion that the journey, the encounters with the supernatural can be approached in many ways. It is a long front in terms of the various approaches we have. And I think it's crucial that scientists, artists, social scientists, mystics, anyone is in dialogue in productive ways to understand more. And, you know, I'm very sympathetic to the drive of science to understand, to explain, to find out. And I think there's many ways that we can do this.
Well, it seems to me that anything that we would call supernatural would have to boil down to a particular type of belief system, and which would be some sort of psychology. So it's a difference in context between the subjective, again, and something that is materially real or physical that obeys the laws of the physical universe. Our beliefs on one level, of course, are subjected to the rules of nature, and yet they may be completely impossible. They may never come to any sort of an existence.
Yeah. So one of my favorite philosophers, he's called Slavoj Žižek, and he comes from Slovenia, and he has a really interesting take on what exists, on ontology. And he often kind of considers the what he calls the ontological incompleteness of the universe, which is to say that the actual fabric of the universe, what exists, actually includes voids, includes gaps, fissures. And he's got this joke, it's as though God kind of didn't expect us to get to below the subatomic level, that he didn't think we'd get to a quantum level. And he actually left the universe incomplete, unfinished. And so I like to think then that these paranormal entities are actually exhibit the really existing universe insofar as they exemplify the fissures, the gaps, the voids that are actually part of the universe, that there is no kind of opposition between the paranormal entities and what really exists, but rather that they are truly part of the objective reality of the universe.
That's an interesting perspective. I would say that wouldn't be possible, because if there's things that are left out of the universe, then they're not, by definition, part of our universe. And therefore, if they came into existence, they would be in a universe unto themselves as opposed to ours. Otherwise, they would have been there all along. But, I mean, now we're getting kind of out on a limb with all of this. Something that I've often thought is that if we've got something that is a physical objective reality, say we have alien visitors from some other place, if they have the ability to make themselves appear to be anything they want, similar to the way that we're developing our technology now with such things as active camouflage, where we can create projections that look entirely believable and real, at least at some distance of pretty much anything we want, they could be doing the same thing and probably better than we are. So they could say, if you want to talk about Sasquatch, they could be projecting some image of some large ape-like creature, some sort of a hominid lumbering through the forest, and we wouldn't know that it's not real. but they could be studying our reaction to it to see how we behave, to see what we think of it, to see how we interpret it. Same thing with angels or demons or unicorns or any other number of paranormal phenomena that perhaps seem real when they're observed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are. And that would also explain a lot of the missing evidence, that missing physical evidence, because really there isn't any. All that's there is people's experience.
I'm a Coast to Coast listener, and often people come on, talk about kind of conspiracy theories and the way in which holographic technologies are used. I think similar to what you're saying is there can be the bending of space and time to create these visual kind of mass hallucinations of an event. I think that's an interesting take. I mean, it's such a massive field, this realm. But one thing I recall here is during the Bigfoot investigation at Chehalis Lake, they set up this giant 72-inch TV screen on a truck. They angled it towards the opposite side of the valley, and they played, I think it was the Blue Planet, this kind of nature documentary with various animals, sea creatures, and so on. And what they wanted to do was to pique the interest of Sasquatch, to kind of lure Sasquatch with these strange creatures, just to avoid a kind of falling into the trap of, oh, the investigators have shown up again, they're going to do that. They're really keen on using visuals, in this case a giant TV screen, to create something different that may stir the Sasquatch.
Very interesting. Now, we know that there is some correlation between Sasquatch and UFO sightings, so let's suppose the Sasquatch is a projection of an alien cultural geographer. That would be really interesting from their point of view to look down at the people on the truck with the great big TV screen, because they would be saying, well, look at this. Instead of going out and looking for tracks, they brought a big screen TV and backed it onto the lake. I find that actually kind of amusing.
You know, the dilemma of how do we separate ourselves from the reality that we're observing. But often, I think this is I'm not a physicist here, but the Heisenberg uncertainty principle or something, which is that scientists have observed that our observations actually influence objective reality, that you can't separate the two. You know, thinking about what does Sasquatch want? What is their motive? Who are they? Are they a projection? Are they being controlled by wider forces?
Before the aliens arrive. We have something else that's going to arrive here. And then we'll get back with Paul Kingsbury, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com. VercelMedia.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Brett Kavanaugh now has one of the most important jobs in the country. By a vote of 50-48, the Senate has confirmed him as a United States Supreme Court Justice. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the Democrats' anger at Kavanaugh will only help in next month's election.
Our base is fired up. We finally discovered the one thing that would fire up the Republican base, and we didn't think of it. The other side did it.
Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says her key decision vote yes was a hard one.
It certainly ranks right up there. There's no doubt about it. There have been other very difficult decisions, but this was a tough one.
164 people were arrested in Washington, D.C. protests. Justice Kavanaugh begins work on the Supreme Court immediately. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So do the aliens have anything to do with Sasquatch?
I mean, these are phenomena, whatever they are. They're certainly being experienced by numerous people. You know, the world is finite. You've got Roswell on the same landmass as, you know, Bigfoot territory in the Northwest. So there's a proximity there for sure. But again, I like how people get caught up in these experiences. And I think it's similar with, you know, belief systems. Again, the geography is a great story of how the Romans, ancient Romans, you know, they'd build these aqueducts, towering aqueducts, and on top, out of view, they would construct the statues of the gods, like to give thanks, to praise the gods. But the irony is that you couldn't see the statues from below. They were a pure kind of gesture towards the other gods, this gazing down upon them. And I think our relationship to the aliens, the Sasquatch, is, you know, when you go on these investigations, you don't necessarily hear the ghosts, or, you know, there's often a silence in the darkened room with the flickering gadgets and so on. You're sat in the truck with the darkness and the drizzle around you during the expeditions. And so you're very much communing with, or hoping to commune with, something that isn't manifestly there. And so there's a yearning towards the other side, to the void.
When you're talking about the other side, that this is a common belief that there is some sort of an afterlife. Now, the best that I can figure it, that's not really possible, in the sense that we as people, as persons, somehow can cease to exist here, our bodies die, our brains die, and that in some other realm are reborn, or we reemerge, and that those beings, those entities, are the same person that left. That doesn't seem to be able to be possible in any way, shape, or form. The best it seems to be is that even if there is an afterlife, that the person in the afterlife is a copy of some kind, and not a very good one, because they have no physical structure, and most of our identity is composed of our physical structure, what we look like, how tall we are. Our very DNA identifies us as persons. Where does that go, and how does it become extant on the other side in any way that could be said to equate to the same person that left?
Well, I'm reminded of something my parents told me. So my dad was, shaving one morning at home, and then he told me, the family, he had this incredible warmth, sense of love, light in his heart. And he heard this voice, which he instinctively knew was his mother's voice, saying, "It's going to be okay." And what made this particularly unusual, was that his mother, my grandmother, died several weeks after my dad was born. So he had never really her voice in a way that he could recognize. And then later on in that day, after he finished the shave and he had this encounter, he learned that his dad died in Ireland. And he's told me this story, and, if anyone has a distaste for hoaxes and messing about, my dad. And so my mother, she encountered her mother sat on her bed one night after she went to the bathroom. And what's curious to me is the ubiquity of these impossible happenings or these strange things going on. Death, of course, is the great unknown. It's the threshold, the limit of what we have. Again, it's almost an impossible task to prove what it means or if there's life after death or not. But I think what you're saying is entirely possible, like many other takes on it. And I think this is one of the beauties of life.
I don't disagree or disbelieve that people have experiences. I've had enough myself that I certainly know that this exists. And I've heard other similar stories to the one that you've just told. So my interpretation of it is that these people are experiencing something, and they're interpreting it in a way that leads them to believe that it is what they believe it is rather than what it actually is. Because there's no logical way it can be what they think it is, but it really feels good to believe that that's what it is. And if it's any kind of test for us, it's how gullible we are to believe that what we're experiencing at the moment is necessarily what it seems to be. I think it's actually much stranger and very different from what people actually believe it is on the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good because, say we solve or get to the bottom of, say, crop circles, for example, and we find out what's causing them, we understand them, and even, say, with the ghost, UFO, Sasquatch mystery, it won't be long before there's another mystery that occurs, or another kind of phenomenon that we haven't understood. And so there's always going to be an element of the paranormal in the future as well.
Well, I imagine you must have taken into account the views of the skeptics and the evidence that they have that shows quite clearly that most crop circles are created by people. That's just the way that it is. The few that aren't, well, we're not sure how to explain them, but it's that residue that we're interested in when it comes to the paranormal.
Of course, there's numerous human-made hoaxes and so on, but there are a significant number that have no claimed authorship, so there's a absent presence of the producers here. Many of the enthusiasts say that, when they're pushed, these people claim to have made them, they can't reproduce these features. And again, it's all part of that kind of mystery and the delight of the phenomenon.
Right. We could theorize, I imagine, on how something like that could be produced. I think with today's technology, that it could be produced, pretty much any of them, no matter how complex they were. That still doesn't explain the residue of some of the other paranormal things that have happened that just seem to be beyond us, particularly with the UFOs, sort of a large hairy ape-like creature. Well, that's something that we know exists already. It just is not known to exist here where it's seen, and it's a little bit different in terms of its behavior and appearance and so on. But at least we know something like that exists and is here. Mm-hmm. UFOs, on the other hand, we don't have one that we know of in the hands of the public. And yet we get radar tracks from them. We get infrared camera tracks of them. We have numerous witnesses and official government studies for years on these, far more than the Bigfoot or even the ghost hunting. When you get back into looking at, say, all the way from Project Sign up through Blue Book and onto even all of the civilian groups afterwards.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the New York Times piece by Leslie Keene and others on documenting the Pentagon's, you know, funded research into these UAPs. Have you seen the YouTube videos on that article?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the best is the interviews with the pilots who not only captured them on their equipment, but saw them with their own eyes. That is really interesting. And if you look at those interviews, you go, okay, there's no way that this is a hoax. This is somebody who's definitely got credentials. It was more than just that pilot that saw it. And it just seems very believable. If the whole thing is a hoax, then it's been expertly orchestrated by the government. And I just personally don't believe it.
Yeah, there's considerable debate amongst ufologists about, you know, the Tic Tac craft. There's the Nimitz aircraft carrier one, and then there's another sighting, recorded sighting off the eastern seaboard.
Right, the Go-Fast one.
Yeah, debates about, you know, it looks like another heat thermal signature of a plane. This one is definitely probably would be a plane, but the other one, on the other hand, the Nimitz is a different kind of entity. So again, it's amongst the researchers, there's considerable debate.
We got one more segment with Paul Kingsbury with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, in truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson.
Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, let's continue. Randall?
Have you run across, or have you, in your preliminary findings, noticed any commonalities, a thread that runs between all of these various paranormal phenomena and the people and the cultures that you could say is significant that you would really want to draw our attention to?
Yes, and that would be that all of the investigators have had a life-changing experience, often quite intense in terms of a kind of shift towards their orientation to the world and other people, and also a kind of... They've become inspired or driven to find out what happened to them and to share this with other people. And although some people, you know, they're obviously not in the investigation group, some people will just want to forget what happened to them, will repress it, will don't want to know about it, and will not speak about it. So there's, you know, a case of brothers. They both witness a UFO. One of them became an important figure in a UFO organization, but his brother didn't want to talk about it again. So the people's responses to these paranormal encounters can be quite different. But in terms of the investigators, an utter shift orientation in their lives, and in many ways, I would say for the better.
What brought you into this study? What interests you personally the most?
Earlier on, I was telling Gene, I grew up in southwest England in Gloucester, which was a neighboring county, Gloucestershire to Wiltshire, which is home to the crop circle. So I was proximate to a seasonal occurrence of something mysterious. You know, I enjoy ghost stories, mysteries. I got tenure in 2011, and I wanted to engage in a project that could maintain my interest. My kryptonite as a researcher is getting bored with my work. If I'm writing something, it has to be interesting. Otherwise, it's drudgery. So I spoke to a colleague about my idea of looking into paranormal investigators, and he actually had experience at a national level in Canada reviewing the grant submissions. And he said that many academics, when they're going through these reams of paper, piles of these grants, it can be quite boring. And then he said, yeah, you should totally go try the UFOs. It would really interest a committee who adjudicates which grants support gets funding. And that emboldened me to spend an entire summer crafting the grant and, making sure it wouldn't get shot down. I was very forthright in saying I'm not trying to prove or disprove the phenomenon. But I also think it's important for academics to not sideline the paranormal as a in a way, as simply a cultural or a kind of oddity in society, but to take seriously, there's been a mainstreaming of the paranormal, and there's been a democratization of paranormal investigations. People, you can order online ghost investigation kits. You can attend UFO conferences and so on. So this is what was once considered taboo, certainly extraordinary, is now quite commonplace in terms of these sites which you can engage in a paranormal investigation.
It must give you a real sense of satisfaction to be part of that process then.
Yeah, I feel one thing I didn't expect about the research was how supportive the investigators have been. So when my first activity was to go to a UFO conference, and I went to a one-day boot training camp for field investigators. We learned about interview techniques, photo interpretation. And towards the round about midday, I came out, as it were, as a researcher, and I wasn't sure about how they would receive me, if they would be somewhat distant towards me. But they embraced the research. I think I give the investigators a certain amount of legitimacy, credibility. People like yourselves are kind of intrigued that an academic studying this stuff. And so as the years have gone by, it's gone, become a collaborator with these folks and trying to help them, be that carrying equipment during an investigation or being part of the calling out to Sasquatch or ghosts. I want to help the investigations too. And so, slowly over the years, I've accepted, I am immersed in this stuff, but not as a threat, I think, to my research. But it's been more enjoyable and actually intriguing than I thought it would be.
So your study, a critical study of the lived spaces of organizations and conferences.
Yeah.
In that study, if there was, say, one or two top points that you want to highlight in your study that you've come up with so far, what would they be?
In terms of take-homes of research findings?
Yeah, say if you were doing your summary of this study and a critical study of the lived spaces of organizations and conferences, what would be, say, the top three points you'd like to hit home with?
Yeah, I think number one, people get involved in these things because they themselves have had an extraordinary, what they would consider paranormal experience. Two, that this experience was such that they passionately wanted to understand it. And the way they could best understand it would be to collaborate, join like-minded groups who themselves have shared these experiences. Three, the paranormal investigations, the people who conduct them are not crackpot. They're not, kind of dogmatic believers. They also experience with themselves doubt about the phenomena, about what it is. Many people, they have a sense of humor about what they're doing. They're reflective on what they're doing. They're not headstrong about what they're doing. There's a kind of, I would say, healthy skepticism towards what they're doing as well. So, there are three points I would like to forefront, certainly in terms of the people themselves. The other aspect, Gene and Randall, is, the actual geography of this. And I'm going to start writing a book next fall when the project's over. And I want to consider the nature of the paranormal, particularly in terms of the spaces that it occurs in, not simply in terms of the regions, but also the very bending, twisting, and folding of space, which I think is part of what the phenomena is, certainly what the investigations are.
Sounds fascinating. We're just about out of time. I enjoyed just listening to you and Randall talk back and forth. I think Randall regrets that his computer decided to, shall we say, have a few hiccups. But that's what the computers are here for, Paul. Can you tell our listeners, if they want to know more about the things you do, where do they go?
Yeah, I'm more than happy for your listeners to contact me on email. It's my last name, Kingsbury@sfu.ca.
And again, when will this be finished?
Yeah, so the field work ends next summer, and then I will embark on writing a book which is tentatively entitled Investigating Paranormal Investigators. My plan is to publish it with the University of Nebraska Press.
Well, you know, we deserve some investigation, don't we, Randall? Where can we find you?
At ufopages.com.
And you can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. We'll have announcements of the show there. I'm not a super Twitter user. I don't tweet so much because other people have supplanted that. You know how that goes. So I don't tweet as much as I should. We're also on Facebook. We have two official Paracast channels. But the big thing we want to offer you is the Paracast Plus. It's the best way to support the Paracast. And in order to join, you just have to check out the information at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Prices are just $1.49. You get the exclusive After the Paracast podcast. You get this show free of the network ads, and not just in response to people on YouTube who say we have commercials every 2 minutes. I don't know where they get that idea. Paul Kingsbury, actually, you came as a huge surprise to me because I see you're just so well-versed in what's going on in our paranormal world, and we look forward to having you back again. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks very much, Gene, and thanks also to you, Randall.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com, or call our order line 888-212-8871.